This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
And let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure through Jesus Christ, Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Please be seated. Thank you for that beautiful song, David. That calmed everybody down, I hope. So last night I came in here, and the first thing I saw in the dark was Coco. Scared the living out of me. So I expected him today. So you're not supposed to do this, but I got to tell you, I'm going to do it. You're only supposed to have one subject in a sermon, but I got two. I'm of two minds today. So I said that at my church up in Evergreen, Colorado, and we had she was a retired 16th century professor of English Lit at Texas Tech, right? And afterwards she said, you're not supposed to do two subjects. I said, I know, I told you I wasn't. She goes, but you're not supposed to. Okay, but I'm going to do it. So first, let's talk about Mark. Mark, we know, is the quickest, shortest gospel, gets to the point. Everybody's with me so far. And this thing moves. We don't play. This is the way Mark goes, very quick. And you see just how it's written. Our little two bits today are split up, goes from one subject to another. That's not what I'm doing. I'm doing even another one. And the idea is they're passing through Galilee. Jesus doesn't want to speak to anybody. He wants to talk to his disciples. And he finally gets a chance to. In fact, an opportunity comes up to him for doing just that, because the disciples are doing what? They're screwing around. Because they're, in my mind, they're young men, right? They're in their teens and 20s, I think. They have followed him at least for a year at this point, if not two. We're already in the ninth chapter, right? And they're probably pushing each other and shoving each other like young men would, right? That's what I imagine. And then Jesus tells them really bad news. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days later, after being killed, he will rise again. They don't want to hear that. They're following him around. It's been great. They eat. People give them money. They heal people. Jesus is the hero. And everybody wants to be the hero in their own story. So it's been all good, right? But he has said this once before. And what happened? Who's the one that barked back at him? Had to be Peter. And Jesus says, what? Get behind me, Satan, right? We know that. That was just a couple weeks ago in Mark, right? And then if you follow through Mark, it's not in here, but just right before this is the transfiguration. It takes Peter and John and I think Andrew, I have it written down. Let me look at my notes. Just blanked. He takes them up to the mountain, and there's this transformation, this transfiguration, right, of Jesus. Very incredible story. But I preached on a lot because my church was called the Church of the Transfiguration. If you don't remember anything else, you remember everybody was dazzling white. My wife's favorite part, because she thought, what bleach did they use to do that? So now he's talking to them. He knows what they're talking about. He can hear them. He's a teacher. He knows his 12. But there are, they went from joking around to him saying he's going to get killed and rise. They don't get any of it. They're hoping it's not true. And what do we hear? He asks them the question, what are you talking about? What are you arguing about? What are you needling each other about? And I think the three that went up to the mountain aren't involved in this. Definitely not Peter, because they've seen something that's so incredible, and they've been told not to say anything. And I think they haven't said anything, because we're not getting that vibe. We're getting this vibe, who's the greatest from the other nine. So what does he do? It's time for a powwow. It's time to get serious. This is the second time he said it, and they are just missing, right? The whole thing. So he takes the 12, just the 12, not the crowds, sits them down and says, this is what's going to happen, trying to get you prepared. But there's good news. There's a thing called resurrection. Now, with what I've read about the first century, there were obviously other people walking around and saying they're the Messiah, or people are saying, are you the Messiah? And the word of resurrection was bantied about. It wasn't like a totally new concept that Jesus brought. And there's still Jews today who are resurrection Jews. But overall, the Jews don't believe in resurrection, right? So they believe you go to the bosom of Abraham. It's like a typical thing, whatever that means. So here we are, and he sits them down, and what does he do? He gets a young child. Sounds like a young child, because he took the child in his arms and said, there is no greatest thing here. If I die, or when I die, the new leader is not going to be the boss, like, you know, with the smoke and the cigars and giving you orders. That's not what it's all about. The leader is the servant leader. And because we have 2,000 years of perspective since that event, we understand what a servant leader is. It's someone that does all the background work that helps others do their ministry. I don't know about you, but what comes to my mind is Father Marty. He was a servant leader. I mean, I've met others. There's a lot of good priests out there. But I got to say it, Father Marty was the one that I met. And I have had the pleasure of sitting next to him. And I would sit there. I'd be back there watching him do the sermon here and go, holy moly, this guy. He was a holy man. Right? And a lot of people have said it, and apparently you all know it. I'm just telling you what I think. So I've been here a year, and now I'm reflecting, and now Mary Ellen is here. And I got to tell you, behind the scenes, I know we're all kind of a little bit down. Let's just admit it. It's a little bit depressing without Father Marty and Dee, right? Because Dee would, she'd go around, hug everybody, smile, right? I mean, those are two saints. Father Marty always talked about saints. They were saints. They are saints. Right? And then there's saints that have died and gone up, and they're in the saints in heaven. But they were saints. So what's going on behind the scenes here is a lot of scrambling around, because there's a lot of things going on in this church. And I felt it when I walked in the door a year ago. October 12th or something, almost a year ago, right? And I still feel it, because there's a lot of saints here. Your neighbors are saints, right? Look around, you know who they are, and they might not shine, it's like stars that one shines a little bit brighter, but we're all saints. So what I was trying to get at, back to Mark a minute, and then I'll go to my next subject, is Mark's Jesus is trying to tell him, and just putting that child in front of him, is you've got to be a servant leader. You're the 12. I've chosen you, but it's not, we're not going to war against the Romans. I'm not that guy, but I am the guy who is bringing kind of God into this new idea of religion to the world. And that's what I want. And that's what I want to bring to the world. I am going to get killed by the Romans. I don't know if he really knows how, but it's not going to be good. John the Baptist, his cousin's head was cut off, right? So it's a cruel world then. It's a cruel world now, but it's pretty graphically cruel. And Jesus heard that his cousin, who was preaching about him coming, gets his head chopped. I mean, that's nasty. So whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. But remember, there's that, I'll die, but there's hope, resurrection. I'll rise on the third day. Now, think about that. Like these 18, 19, 20-year-old guys walking around the country and beyond the country with Jesus, that's going to be a hard concept to get their head around, that there's resurrection. Because it's a hard concept for us. Intellectually, we all agree on different scale, like from 0 to 180 or whatever. I literally go like this with resurrection. I mean, deep down, I think as I've gotten older, slightly more mature, I can't say I'm mature, but slightly more mature, I'm more over here, probably over here. I believe it because I've seen resurrection just in life, just things, people resurrecting their old lives. And we call it, you know, popular culture, it's what, you know, you've resurrected your career, you've, you know, reinvented yourself, that's all that stuff. So, and you know, just looking at trees, not so much here in Florida, but up north, you see the trees go through the season. There's resurrection every year. There's new growth, there's new birth, there's new children, there's new baby ducks in the little canal behind my house. So there's resurrection all the time. But so it is a hard concept. So for him to say that, I could see they're gone, I don't understand. And that's another feature of Mark. The disciples never understood, even when he was not speaking in parables, when he's telling them bluntly. And I think that's a lesson for us today too, because we can't, it takes forever to kind of, our long lives to figure out what Jesus is talking about. So, but there's, he gives them that hope. And they still don't understand after he dies until he shows up. And that's where I want to head next. So this morning I'm reading, anybody read the Palm Beach Post? Anybody? All right, a couple people. The only good, I'll put it this way, the only good thing to read this morning, because all the other stuff is all the other stuff, the usual stuff, was about these towns called Hope, right? And there are apparently 19 cities in America. Hope, Hope, Alaska, Hope, Arkansas, Hope, New Mexico, Hope, Maine. That's all I read. Because then I got a call, and I had to get over and bring the orange juice over because the electric went out, and we had to switch things around. Anyhow, so reading about hope and these wonderful stories. Some towns are doing some so good, so bad, whatever, doesn't matter. The one cornerstone of following Jesus when you talk about resurrection is what? Oh, my God. You're such a good teacher, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for doing that. So, and what's the one of the cornerstones of St. Joe's community? Same thing, it's hope. When I walked in here a year ago, I went, wow, there's hope. This church is really moving. I've been to... When you retire as a priest, you can be a supply. They call it supply priests, kind of like the army. And you can go around and do different church. You go to different churches and celebrate and talk, and people sometimes listen. And, you know, and my wife always says, "Get go, 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 go," because she's like, "Mark, let's go, let's go, let's go." So anyhow, let me get to the point. But this community here has a lot of hope. Right now, maybe the meter's down a little bit. But I got to tell you, I've had the pleasure and privilege of being here for a year. I got to tell you, there's a lady full of energy over here in Joy. It's Mary Ellen. I think she's great. Yeah. I didn't even have to ask. It's a hard job, and I remember saying the same thing to you about Marty, but Marty was just a machine. I mean, he just was incredible. But so is she. And so I think we just got to keep working together. We've got to get used to each other's personalities, how we work, and all that type of thing. And again, D just was that anchor of hope, right? Always smiling and hugging and all that. And this community, though, we, the community of St. Joe's, which I'm proud to be a part of, will continue with that same hope. We're privileged to have each other. I don't know if you go to other churches now and then. There's sometimes not that same feeling. So it's a lot of hard work to run a parish behind the scenes. Marty and Dee had it down. I mean, after doing it 22, 23 years, they should, but it still takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of good people to make it happen. So thank you for all the work that you do. I'm looking out and I'm just seeing different people that just show up and do stuff. So there is great hope. And someone asked me when Canon Fletcher was here. I didn't go to the meeting. I went to get coffee because I'm an addict. And I have to have that second cup. And people were, you know, I could tell their concern. I got to tell you, in my experience of spinning around the sun and being in various churches, this church, St. Joe's, has an excellent chance. Not good, not medium or something. This church has an excellent chance of calling an excellent rector, man or woman. Why? Because you are a community of hope. And why? Because of all the things that you've done. Every program that happens here is a joy. And I know it's hard work, and I know people are behind the scenes, and I know they kind of go, I don't like her. But I don't hear a lot of that. That's just normal rubbing because, you know, we're different people. We have some friction. I have no doubt that when the time comes, you're going to be joyful. And I hope to be right here, at least kind of like over there on the side a little bit. And I have great hope that this church will continue, it will grow, it will bring in new people, and that's how you grow. You keep bringing in new people. The songs that we sang this morning, welcoming, welcoming, welcoming. That's what this church has. I have felt so welcomed, right? You're always going to welcome the priest, I hope. I could tell you stories on that. But we have to look in ourselves for a while, right? As you go through this process of looking for a rector. But we also have to trust that God's really in charge, right? And then we have to have, because we have that trust in God, we have that hope. So resurrection is hope. St. Joseph's is hope. Amen, amen, amen. All right.